How about that? I took myself off mute. You know, one day I'm going to be an experienced minister and I'll know how to do this. Alison.
Good morning and welcome to church, everybody, particularly the children for the cash in church today, because this is Palm Sunday, so welcome, everybody. Lent discussion, there's no Zoom today because of holidays. Flowers for the cross. During our main Easter service next week, we always remember to bring flowers for the cross on Easter Sunday. Yes. Some this morning. Please bring along as many cut stems as you can. About 1-inch stems are ideal. Any kind of flowers are welcome. And there will be trays in the vestibule to receive your donations when they arrive. Holy Week and Easter. There'll be a short evening gathering in the church during Holy Week on Monday to Thursday. That's the 3rd to the 6th of April, starting about 8 o'clock. These will continue our Lent theme of justice. On Good Friday, which is the 7th of April, there'll be an informal communion service also at 8 o'clock. On Easter morning at on the 9th of April, we will have an outdoor dawn service in the church garden at 7:30 a.m. with breakfast rolls to be available afterwards. Our Easter Sunday service will be at 11:30 as usual and will include communion. Coffee Morning Helpers, we'd love to restart the programme of Coffee Mornings, and there's a form if you want to add your name to it on the table in the vestibule if you can assist. There's a ladies' conference, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, which there is paperwork on the table if anybody's interested and they want to pick up something about it. It's on Saturday the 15th of April, 10 a.m. till 4 p.m, and it's at Limekilns Church. And you just, it's no cost, and you bring your own lunch and they'll provide tea and coffee. Kirk Session will have a special meeting on Wednesday the 19th of April to review the West Fife Village cluster progress, and any ordinary business meeting, and an ordinary business meeting on Wednesday the 26th. There are other intimations on your printed sheet, and they can be viewed on Facebook to download from the website if you don't have a copy. And finally, here is the order of service. Thank you.
Worship God as we make way for Christ the King. Hymn number 279, make way for Christ the King.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we offer our gifts as a token of our love for you and our desire to serve you. Our prayer is that what we give will enable your church to serve our parish, our nation and our world. In Jesus' name, Amen. So, as I've already said, today is Palm Sunday. In churches all around the world, people will be celebrating the beginning of Holy Week, the week that leads up to Easter. It's a day when we remember Jesus arriving at Jerusalem and people waving their palm branches and throwing their cloaks on the road. It was like rolling out the red carpet. It was like waving flags. And Jesus had become a celebrity. He was famous. So here's a question for you. Who is the most famous person you have met? Anybody met anybody famous? You've met Princess Anne? Good. Right. Okay. Very good.
Ken Logan, that used to play rugby for Scotland.
Ken Logan, who played for Scotland, right?
Philip Schofield.
Philip Schofield. Twice.
Mr. Motivator.
Mr. Motivator, right? Yeah, we're getting through some famous people here. Karen was able to say that she has shaken hands with the King. She went to see him when he was in Dunfermline and she was just in the right spot, so she got to shake hands. But far more important than that, and some people down the road looked mystified, so I've got to say this is to do with Strictly Come Dancing. Karen has had a kiss from Ali Ash. I was trying to think if I've met, who I've met that was famous. I did on one occasion meet somebody famous in here, and it was only after the service where somebody said to me, "So, are we going to have Scottish internationalists often?" And it was somebody who was part of the Scottish team, and I know so much about football I didn't even recognise them. So I don't think that counts. I'm just trying to think if I've met anybody particularly famous, and I'm not sure. But I do remember the Queen arriving in my hometown when I was at school, and several things happened. The council painted the fences, and the story was that that would be the only time they were ever painted in Langley. Were you around Langley then, Rob?
Not pre-66.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I think it might have been a wee bit. I think I was late primary, so. Well, yes, it would have been, I think it would probably have been about 67. Right. And we got to wave a flag. That's all I remember. But, you know, it's these kind of things that you've got to think about. I mean, who would you like to meet? Any of you youngsters like to meet somebody famous? Right, Ariana Grande, that's a difficult one to say.
A lady who survived the Titanic disaster came to school and was working.
Oh, right. So you've met somebody that was on the Titanic. Right.
I'd like to have met Dougie Weir. Dougie Weir. Uh-huh. My sister and her husband, not time. were very friendly with his mum and dad.
Right.
I never actually met him. Uh-huh.
So there's somebody famous. Yeah, it's... We're kind of used to fame. But you've got to think about Jesus was probably known by just about everybody around that area. And if they hadn't met him, they'd heard about him. And they were just desperate to see this person. And there was the whole thing, would he arrive? Was he going to be there? Was he not going to be there? And so you can imagine if I spread the rumour that somebody really famous was going to come to Cairney Hill. You imagine all the chatter in the village. And that's what Jerusalem was like. Now, about 500 years before Jesus, there was a man called Zechariah, a prophet, and he said that there was going to be a king, and this king would arrive riding on a donkey. And of course, that's the way Jesus chose to arrive in Jerusalem. He arrived on a donkey, and he did all sorts of things when he was there. But actually, the people who were in charge of Jerusalem got more and more worried, because they thought there might be a riot, and they thought there might be trouble. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. And actually, the last straw for the leaders in Jerusalem, and we'll hear this in the reading later, was children. Do you know that children are trouble? And they were running through the temple shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. And at that point, the authorities got really mad and went up to Jesus and said, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus' answer was that very often God's truth comes from children. And I don't think the people in charge were best pleased. But it is interesting that it was children that finally made them go, we've had enough of this. But it was actually the children who said, this is who Jesus is. So you've got an important part in the story of Palm Sunday. And that's just the beginning of us going up to Easter. So remember, you've got an important place. Even if the grumpy adults disagree, you've got an important place. And you're allowed to shout and make a noise. And in fact, just to show you that this works, down the road, there were children in throughout the service, and in the prayer of confession, where we're asking God to forgive us, I always put a little bit of silence in so that we can think about the things that we've done wrong that we want God to forgive. And as I was thinking about what I needed to be forgiven for, a wee boy who's about two, I think, I just heard him in the back going, oh. And I thought, absolutely right. I've just confessed to something. Oh. It works. Just before you go out, we're going to sing Come On and Celebrate, which is a song from Mission Praise 99. So let's sing Come On and Celebrate. And you've got a clap in this one. There's a bit where you clap. And then you can donder out as we prepare to do the rest. Okay, let's sing. Um, It's hymn 99 music that's in there.
I've got 99, that's what I've come out with.
Right.
Because I thought at the time when I read it, I thought, oh, that wasn't...
Yeah, I should have put a wee note in to say that it's Mission Praise, not the hymn book. I think we'll just give it a bye. Oh, there you go. Marion's going to lead the singing. Well done, Marion. Next time we need to sing a cappella, you're in charge. And let's worship God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we gather on this Palm Sunday to praise and glorify you, we look forward to Holy Week and to Easter Sunday. We rejoice in all that is at the heart of our faith, your great gift of salvation. In spirit, we unite with all who have rejoiced in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Those throughout history, those across the face of the earth today, and those who worship with a far greater praise in the heavenly places. And so it is with the multitude. We echo the words spoken as Jesus arrived in Jerusalem. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We proclaim Jesus as King. We recognize Jesus as Saviour. We look to Jesus as Lord of heaven and earth. As much as we rejoice, we also remember why Jesus went to the cross. He went there because of sin and evil. He went there for our salvation. Our Easter hymns tell us that he died so that we might be forgiven. It is right that we confess before you. It is right that we seek forgiveness. For when we are truly sorry for the wrong in our lives, you forgive us absolutely. So hear us now as we offer our confession. We rejoice in forgiveness that frees us from guilt and gives us a righteousness we could not achieve for ourselves. We pray for your presence and guidance, not just in our worship in this place, but as we go from here to live in the world. It is in Jesus' name that we offer all our praise and prayer. And in the words that Jesus taught, we sum up our prayers by saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours. Now and forever. Amen. Alistair is going to read to us that prophecy from Zechariah and the story of the triumphal entry from Matthew's Gospel.
And boring. Well, Jesus certainly wasn't. So let's hear our first reading then from the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 to 10. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Amen. And then from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Amen, and may God bless us this reading from his holy word.
We sing now, hopefully, hymn 367, "Hosanna, loud Hosanna." During my youth, I received 3 books as prizes. The first of these was a Sunday school prize. It was an adventure story for boys, which I remember quite enjoying, and I'm sure the book is somewhere in my house. The other 2 books came from Boys Brigade. One I brought to church some years ago. It was the Bible I received as best recruit during the year 1968-69. The third book, also from Boys Brigade, was a prize I can't remember quite for what, and it was Our Mutual Friend by Charles Dickens. I am still surprised that a teenager would be given something that was so difficult to read. Back then, it was probably something to do with encouraging us to read good literature. I did try to read the book, and if I remember correctly, it took me more than 5 shots to get past the first few chapters and actually into the book so that I could read it. I noticed that very recently there has started a new mini-series on television of Dickens' Great Expectations. I've not watched it, and I realise that neither have I read the book. I'm pretty sure I've got a copy, and maybe I should read it. Anyway, Great Expectations. That almost became the title for this sermon. It seems to fit the idea of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Nothing to do with Dickens' novel, or even related to that story. Rather, it is all about the expectations of people around Jesus. Prior to his arrival in Jerusalem, Jesus has tried to warn his disciples of what lay ahead. But they couldn't understand, in fact, they didn't really hear what Jesus had to say. And they are caught up in the moment. Their expectations of Jesus were perhaps the greatest. They thought they were arriving in Jerusalem with the King, and they would sit on his right and his left. Some of the problem that the disciples have is to do with their expectations of the Messiah. People had been thinking about this for a long time. They had built up an expectation. This is what God's Saviour will be. But some of their problem is actually Jesus. By choosing to arrive at Jerusalem in a very obvious fulfilment of Zechariah's prophecy, this reinforces the idea of the warrior king. This is a political act at a time of high political tension. The Roman authorities were prepared for trouble. There had been other self-proclaimed messiahs. At Passover, Jerusalem was crowded with people celebrating their identity as God's nation, as God's chosen people. The Romans had plenty of experience of rebellion, and they were not going to let rebellion gain momentum. And that is a problem for the temple authorities. They had limited freedom and autonomy. Much though there was little love for Roman authority, they could not afford another insurrection. If the temple became a focus for the rebels, then it would quickly be occupied, desecrated, and possibly destroyed by the Roman authorities. The fears of the Roman and temple authorities were real. The Jewish authorities, of course, believed that God would send a saviour, the Messiah. For the Jerusalem elite, Jesus was certainly not Messiah territory. This scruffy prophet from Galilee could not be the Messiah. They feared the mess that a false Messiah could create. If the people riot, if the people rebel against Rome, they are going to suffer. What we should remember in this story is just how small Judea and Galilee were. The distance between Nazareth and Jerusalem was a mere 70 miles. From north to south, the area controlled by Herod and overseen by Pilate was about 100 miles. From east to west, 60 miles. In terms of population, although there's no accurate figure, it was reckoned that it would probably be in the regions of 250,000. And if you think about the large and extended families that made up society then, it would be no exaggeration to say that everyone, or nearly everyone, had either met or heard about Jesus. And yes, there were those who had come from other parts of the world and wondered what the stir was, as it said in the reading. And they were told, this is the prophet from Galilee. By arriving just as Zechariah prophesied, an already expectant crowd would have been in no doubt as to Jesus' claim to be the Messiah. The hopes of some, the fears of others, are all in the story of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. If we view Palm Sunday as a celebration of Jesus as King, we are right to do so. Jesus' actions reinforce this claim to be Messiah. He goes to the temple. And we know the story about him, and it's one that we can visualize as he chases out the animals, overturns the tables. There's animals, coins, people, noise, all of that kind of thing. And the talk there is of them turning this into a den of robbers. And I had that kind of picture in my head, and I thought for a long time that this was all to do with the people being defrauded. Until I was sitting with one of those big Bible atlases in front of me, and there was a drawing of the temple. And what was very clear from that ground plan was that the buying and selling was in the court of the Gentiles. The real theft in this story is not to do with what people were buying and selling. It was the fact that the place where the world beyond Judaism could meet God had been stolen from them. In other words, it wasn't a house of prayer. It was a house of commerce, unless you were a Jew, and then you got into the centre. And that tells us something about Jesus as Saviour, not just the Messiah for the Jewish people, but the Saviour of the world. Having cleansed the temple, Jesus continues to speak to the people and to heal the sick. For the chief priests and teachers of the law, the situation has become critical. One word from Jesus and there would be full-scale rebellion. And the last straw is the children, because they're shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna is both a plea and a declaration. In the Old Testament, it very often means, please save. When we find Hosanna in the New Testament, it very often means praise of the one who saves. Hosanna to the Son of David is asking Jesus to save in the way that David had saved the nation by being a warrior king. This warrior king who was victorious in battle and is remembered as the greatest of the kings of Israel. Little wonder that it was causing problems. The fears of the authorities, the hopes of the crowd are based upon what they believe about the Messiah. Interestingly, when I looked at that little two-verse passage from Zechariah, what the authorities feared and what the people hoped for is not really mentioned. Here is the one who will proclaim peace to the nations. The prophecy tells of somebody quite different. The hopes of the disciples and the crowd are caught up in that same belief in political and military solution to Roman occupation. It was as though they'd never listened to Jesus. What he taught and said, what he'd said about the kingdom of heaven. It is very easy to build up a picture of what should be, and since we know what should be, that's what we see. It's very easy for us to fall into the same mould as those who surrounded Jesus. The more I've read this passage, in whichever gospel, the more Jesus has seemed quite a lonely figure on that donkey. The only one who really knows what's ahead, who knows that the crisis is coming, who knows that it's not a throne, it's a cross. As those who welcome Jesus as Saviour and Lord, we can easily, very easily, assume that Jesus will fit our definition of what he should be. This is what we expect of God. This is how it will be. And so we make Jesus fit our picture. And I wonder how often I've done it. And need to be reminded that Jesus does not fit our philosophy. Jesus cannot be contained by our church. Jesus is beyond our theology. In the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is not a constitutional monarch. He doesn't rule by our permission. Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And yes, on this Palm Sunday, it is good and right that we wave our palm branches in whatever way we do that to sing the praise of Jesus. But maybe no better way than to have a palm cross and to know that the Saviour that we rejoice in is the one who is going to the cross and our King is crucified and risen. So as we go into this Holy Week, as we remember all that Jesus is, we don't fit him to our thinking. We fit our thinking to who he is. Wave your palm branches. But remember, it is about the cross and about the resurrection. Amen. And now, our prayers for other people. Let us pray. Almighty God, guide us in our prayers for others. More than that, help us to know what we should do and what we should say as we go from this place, as we go out as your servants to our community, to our nation, to our world. We know that we live in a troubled world, not least because of the violence, conflict and war across the face of the earth. Our thoughts for the past year have been very much with the people of Ukraine, We think of the hurt in that land. And not just hurt to the Ukrainian people, but also to the Russian people. Our prayer is that you will comfort the bereaved, heal the injured, and bring peace to those who are troubled in mind and spirit. We think too of the many who have fled home and long to return to where they belong, but now live as refugees in their own land and in many other lands across the face of the earth. We know that we live in a world of contradictions. It is hard for us to understand Russia taking up presidency of the UN Security Council when Russia is the greatest threat to world security in these times. Almighty God, when we look at our world, when we look at that which humanity is responsible for, we know that we need your wisdom, your touch, your salvation. Our prayer is for peace on earth. And as we remember Jesus as the Prince of Peace, we long for a day when all peoples and nations can live at peace with each other. We also think of the United States of America as this week yet another shooting at a school. And so we pray for all who have been affected, for the terrible statistics in that land of gun crime, and for the need for those in authority to make good decisions and right decisions for their nation. Almighty God, we pray for peace on earth, for individuals, for communities, for peoples and for nations. As we pray, we remember our own land. We remember those in authority over us and those who have influence upon our society. We seek wisdom for our decision makers, for those who meet in Parliament and Council Chamber. We think of the many issues facing our land, the things that trouble people, and not least the continuing rise in the cost of living and the struggle for so many and the fears for the future. This weekend, schools have gone on holiday, and so we remember and give thanks for the education provision in our land. Our prayer is that staff, student and pupil will benefit from these few weeks of holiday. But we do remember that this can be a difficult time for families and for those whose finance is marginal. Holiday can mean extra financial burden. And so we pray for those folk who are the poor of our land. On this Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, we remember your church. Be with us in blessing us and challenging us as we walk toward Easter. Remind us again of Jesus' self-giving love. Give us the strength and the courage to live out our faith and to tell out our faith. Be in our words and actions through Easter and beyond. And now, a quiet moment for our private prayer as we bring to you those who are very close to us. You have heard our prayers. spoken and unspoken. We present each prayer and each request in the name of our Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now our closing praise, hymn 481, Jesus is the name we honour. To love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.